whenever I have a meeting on a night like this and the people are rather sparse, it always reminds me of the heavy snowstorms of Minnesota. And the preacher who went to the church and only one man showed up. That's all. It was a farmer. And the preacher said to the farmer, "Well, I don't know if we ought to have church or not. You're the only one who came. What should I do?" "Well," he said, "I'm not a preacher, you know. I'm a farmer. But if on a snowy day and I go to the barn and there's only one cow there, I feed that cow." So the preacher took a hint and he went through the whole sermon, you know. So he went to the door to shake hands, and only one person to shake hands with, the farmer. He said, "Well, how did I do?" "Well," he said, "you know, I'm a farmer. I'm not a preacher." He said, "You know, if I go to the barn on a snowy morning and there's only one cow there, I feed that cow, but I don't give him the whole load." So here we are tonight. We want to turn to 1 Peter again. We're dealing with a new beginning. We want to take up where we left off this morning. In this morning's exhortation, Peter is exhorting the believers that are scattered abroad throughout what we now know as Asia Minor. He was exhorting them to live as kings because they're the children of the king. And they're children of the king because they have been born into the king's family. And therefore he tells them in verse 22, "Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you." Now, the Christian is one into whose very nature royalty has been infused. We have been made partakers of the divine nature, and it is birth that determines nature. This morning we looked, by comparison and contrast, into the gateway to life. And the gateway to life is birth. Whether it's physical birth into the natural life of a natural family, or whether it is spiritual birth into the kingdom of God. Tonight we want to look at two other things here in our passage. And these two things are very important. For while the gateway to life is birth, we notice the difference in the two lives which result from two births. There is a difference in the life that results from our natural birth in the family of Adam, and our spiritual birth into the family of God. And that spiritual birth into the family of God we call regeneration. You'll notice he uses the expression in verse 24, "For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away." This is a quotation from Isaiah chapter 40. Earlier this week, I was studying Isaiah 40, and I came upon this verse. I think it's about verse 6 of Isaiah 40, where that Peter quotes. But the previous verse in Isaiah 40 said, and remember, this is a section in Isaiah that declares unto us who God is. Furthermore, it is a section in Isaiah that is designed to comfort the people of God. Isaiah 40 begins with the words, comfort ye my people. Say unto the people that their warfare is ended and that God is pleased with them. And then in verse 5 we read, "The voice said, cry." And the prophet says, "What shall I cry?" And the answer comes back, all flesh is grass. And all the glory of man is a flower of the field. So you notice there's a difference in the lives that result from the new birth, from two births, the natural birth and the spiritual birth. Notice, all flesh is as grass. In poetry, it is written thus, Isaiah chapter 40. But in fact, compared from the frailty and shortness of its existence, all flesh is as grass. Here we have God telling us that our life on earth is brief. It's just like the life of grass. It becomes green in the springtime, but it dies in the fall and in the winter. So when we think of the shortness and the brevity of life, in fact, all of us are not living, we are dying. From the time that we took our first breath, we simply reduced the number of breaths that we're going to take. Every time we take a breath, that's one less that we're going to take over the total number that we breathe. You see, we begin to breathe when we're born. And thus we reduce the number every time we do. Our pulse is beating a funeral march to the grave. I was listening to the message by our brother David Morris when he was with us in the gospel meetings. And he told the story of this preacher in Kentucky who was different than he was. But if he felt that the audience wasn't listening, he would try to make them mad in order that they would listen. He says that that's not the way I do it, Brother David said. But then he added this. One of his expressions was to an audience, if you are so busy going to hell, will you please listen to me? And you know, really, when you look out over humanity, humanity basically is running here and there. And where are they going? They're going to hell. And we have the only message, friends, that can stop it. There isn't another message that can save anybody. It is the gospel. So when we consider what God says here, all flesh is as grass. Now, just as God gave us in our first birth, a nature that is like grass. It is very short. Now, in the second birth, he gives us a nature also. But it is not like grass, nor is the glory of the flower of the field. Is it like it? For that glory passes away. And you see, the first nature dies because the seed was corruptible. In our first birth, we were born of corruptible seed, as we noticed this morning. The second, or the new nature, was not created by corruptible seed. It was created by incorruptible seed, even the Word of God, into which God has infused His own life. Hebrews 4 verse 12 says, the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. So it is the Word by which we are quickened by the Holy Spirit. Now, I'd like to make a few statements concerning this new nature, concerning what it means to be born again. When we are born of God, we receive a nature that is not destroyed by accident. No accident can ever destroy that nature. Furthermore, it is a nature that is not consumed by fire. Fire cannot consume the new nature. Furthermore, it is not drowned by water. Water cannot drown it. More than that, it is not weakened by old age. And more than that, it is not destroyed by the sword. And finally, it's invulnerable to poison. We were born again of incorruptible seed. Hearing A.P. Gibbs years ago, he made the statement of the man who was being hung on the gallows for his faith in Christ. And he had a smile on his face. And the man who was his executioner, He said to him, "What are you smiling about? Don't you realize that I'm about to snuff out your life?" He said, "Yes, sir. You're about to take a life I cannot keep and usher me into the fullness of a life I cannot lose." Oh, friends, we've been born again of incorruptible seed. Now, the Bible teaches us that the new nature never dies. We have been born again of incorruptible seed. Now, there are reasons for this, and I want to dwell on the reasons why the new nature never dies. First of all, it never dies because of its very nature. It is incorruptible. Like produces like. God ordained this at the dawn of creation. Like produces like. Dying man produces dying man. The natural man can't produce anything else. Dying man produces not dying man, but the everlasting God produces an everlasting nature in his people. 1 Corinthians 15, in verses 47 through 50, this is a great passage. I'd like you to turn to it. 1 Corinthians 15, beginning in verse 47, it would be wise to go through a large part of this, but I'm just picking out a little portion. 1 Corinthians 15 is dealing with a resurrection. And in answer to the two questions, how does God raise the dead and with what kind of a body do they come for when God raises the dead? He has a lot of things to say about that, but when you get to verse 45, he begins with a great contrast. He says, "And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam, a quickening spirit." So when you think of it, the last Adam, our Lord Jesus Christ, is a life-giving spirit. Verse 46, "Howbeit, that which was not first, which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven." And then he goes on to say, "As is the earthy, such are they that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they that are heavenly. And as we are born the image of the earthy, and every one of us bears it, we have a resemblance to our parents. We bear the image of the earthy. But beloved, by virtue of the new birth, the new nature, you see, it tells us, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly." So you see, the Bible teaches us that the new nature, this divine life received when we were born of God, it cannot die. The last Adam, beloved, is a life-giving spirit, a quickening spirit. There's a second reason why this new nature can never die. The new nature never dies because the Holy Spirit perpetually supplies it with life. John 1:16 says, "We have received grace upon grace." Grace upon grace. As a hymn writer put it, "He giveth more grace." The Holy Spirit, beloved, is a divine agent whereby the life of Jesus Christ is infused in us. The second man is a life-giving spirit. But there's a third reason. There's a third reason why that new nature never dies. We are in vital union with Jesus Christ. Vital union with Him. To suppose that the new nature could die were to imagine that a member of Christ could be separated from him. In the 34th Psalm, there's an interesting text that is quoted in the 19th chapter of John. And the quotation in the 34th Psalm says, "He keepeth all his bones not one of them is broken. When you come to the 19th of John, remember the soldiers came to break the legs of the three victims on the crosses on Calvary's Hill, the two thieves and the Lord. When they came to the Lord, they break not his legs. That's what they were sent to do. But they opened his side with a spear wound. That's not what they were sent to do. A soldier is to do what he's told. It's an amazing thing. He didn't do what he was told. And what he did, he was not told to do. But each thing that he did do fulfilled the word of God. When he break not the legs of the Lord, the scripture said, a bone of his shall not be broken. When he opened his side with a spear, Zechariah 12 verse 10 says, they shall look unto him whom they have pierced. Isn't it amazing? The fulfillment of the word of God. Why cannot the new nature die? Because we are in vital union with Jesus Christ. That would be like saying that he could lose an arm or a leg or an ear or a member. Oh no, a bone of his shall not be broken. Our Lord was badly battered on the cross on Calvary's Hill, but not a bone was broken, friends. Not a bone was broken. For superintending all that took place there was a blessed God the Father and the Holy Spirit watching over all that was done. Beloved, we receive divine sap through the stem, our Lord Jesus Christ. As the branches are united to the vine, we are vitally united to Jesus Christ. It is impossible to break the union. Furthermore, our Lord Jesus pledged to keep his people. You see, John 10, 27 through 30, our Lord says, I give unto my sheep eternal life. They shall never perish. We are the sheep of the Lord. He's the shepherd. As we read this morning at the Lord's Supper from Psalm 95, we are the sheep of his pasture, the sheep of his hand. My sheep, hear my voice. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. When our Lord spoke to the woman of Samaria in John chapter 4, verse 14, that woman said unto him, give me that water to drink. Our Lord said, the water that I shall give unto you is a well of water springing up into everlasting life. It's an eternal well, beloved, that springs up into eternal life. Now, we notice there's a difference between the two lives that result from two births. The one is natural, the other is spiritual. The one is likened unto grass that perishes. The other, the spiritual, is likened to life from a life-giving spirit that will never perish. Now, we want to contrast two other things here. We want to contrast the glory of the two natures. Every nature has its own glory. The scripture here says, the glory of the flesh is like the flower of the field. I don't know if you've ever really sat down and meditated upon this verse. But it deals with a new birth. It deals with what it is and what it means to be born again, and therefore we have the comparisons and the contrast. Every nature has its own glory. The flesh of man is like the flower of the field. When springtime, that green grass is alive with many beautiful flowers. the colors and the hues of the flowers are indeed wonderful. But the flower comes up later than the grass. The grass is green before you ever see the flower. And so it is in the natural birth. A child is born long before the glory of their existence really appears. Just as a flower is a lot earlier than the grass. Now so it is with us, you see, in the new nature. Our very nature has its glory. But it takes years for it to arrive. You think of a baby that's born into a family. The baby does not yet have the glory of manhood or womanhood. It does not appear what that baby's going to be like. You see, the glory of the baby isn't known yet. So it is with us. John writes and he says, it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. But now think this over. In the natural, when the glory of a person does arrive, it dies just like the flower dies before the grass dies. The grass is still green after the flowers have all died. The flower dies first. You see, and so it is in the life of a person. The glory of a person, no matter who they are, that glory dies before they do. You see, this is a thrust of Ecclesiastes 12. You know that great passage. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, wherein you say there is no pleasure in them. And he's speaking of old age. And he talks about when they that look out of the window be dim. What's wrong? What's he talking about? He's talking about the fact that when you get to a certain age, you need these. Can't see like you did when you were younger. You see, and then he says, and the grinders cease because they are few. And you know what he's talking about? He's talking about the teeth. You get to, you see, the glory of the person dies before the person does. All flesh is as grass, and the glory of man as a flower of the field. And how true it is. I tell you, the word of God is very accurate here. You see, now, what is the glory of man? Well, it varies. In some, the glory of the flesh is beauty. There are multitudes of people. I happened to watch Walter Cronkite the other night, and they had something in Kennedy Center. They were honoring various people who did well. And I looked at Betty Davis. Oh, my. The glory is faded, friend. There was a time when she was beautiful. Her glory was her beauty. But no one would say that today. How late the glory is developed. How soon it fades. All flesh is as grass. And the glory of man as a flower of grass. Beloved, we need to teach this. There are people today who think that this world and all that is in this world is going to last, but it isn't. It's going to fade away. And it's going far more rapidly than most people imagine. It all fades. But then, on the other hand, in some, the glory of the flesh is physical strength. But alas, how soon it fades. There's a great verse in the 147th Psalm. It's the 10th verse. Let me read it to you. He delighteth not in the strength of a horse. He taketh not pleasure in the legs of a man. And I am amazed at how many people are taken up with bodybuilding to show it off. Our God takes not pleasure in the legs of a man. You see, the glory may be in their strength. there are those, and I'm thinking of someone in my mind right now, and I won't mention the name. The person never was sick, and they never as much as had to take an aspirin for a headache. But now they're laid aside, and they don't know what to do with it. Beloved, if you're blessed with a strong body, give thanks to God. It's His grace. You have nothing you didn't receive. If you're blessed with beauty, remember, it is God who gave it to you. And He gave it to you to use for His glory. And it will soon pass away. It will. But you see, in some, the glory of their flesh is their mind. They have eloquence so that they can enhance the ears of a multitude. As they speak, they have something to say. I'm thinking of a man like Franklin Roosevelt. I loved to hear that man speak when I was a boy. I loved to listen to Winston Churchill. My, that man could use English grammar. It was a delight to listen to him. And especially did I enjoy listening to Dr. Donald Gray Barnhouse. Oh, to sit and listen to him, I could sit for an hour and a half. And he fed you with the Word of God. And you listened and you heard every word. My, what a preacher he was. But he died. And the time came that with a mighty brain that he had, with the eloquence that he was able to present the word with. You see, he to me was like a honeybee. Every word was like distilled honey as he ministered to you. Yet how late it was in coming. As a child, he had to learn to speak. Then there were many years of study. And finally it arrived. And after it arrived, it was short-lived. He died in his 60s. Glory of man. No matter who it is. You see, all flesh is as grass. To be real, the voice that cry, we read in Isaiah 40, what shall I cry? Remind man that all flesh is as grass. Do I really believe this? And the glory of man is a flower of grass. But now we want to think about this. What? Is this true of the new nature as well? The things that I've said of the old? Is this true of the new? What is the glory of the new nature? Well, let me tell you this. The glory of the new nature lies in its beauty. Just as the glory of the old nature with some lies in its beauty, but it's so short-lived. But the glory of the new nature lies in its beauty as well. You see, it means that God is making us like Jesus Christ. Look back again at verse 22, the end of the verse. See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. There's only one man who ever did that. And you know, when God's finished with me, I'm going to too. That's the glory of the new nature. That's the glory of the new nature. I'm going to love other people like Christ loved them. Not like Jonah loved them. And he sat there under his gourd at the edge of the city of Nineveh waiting for the judgment of God to fall. Oh no. God showed Jonah what a heart God had when he spared the cattle. And I reminded Brother Sutton, who fed the neighbor's dog this afternoon, that a righteous man regardeth the life of his beast. That's what the scripture says. Righteous man regardeth the life of his beast. So you see, where's the glory of the new nature? It's in its beauty. We're going to be like our Lord Jesus. And it's a beauty that will never fade. Eternity itself will never hollow the cheeks of this radiant beauty. As people get older, and the cheeks just become hollow. Eternity will never hollow the cheeks of this radiant beauty of the new nature. For we're going to move from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of the Lord. There is a strength that manifests itself in the beauty of the old nature, but it soon passes away. Men who play football usually die real young from the beating they take on the gridiron. But you think of the strength that is supplied to the new nature by the ever-quickening Spirit within the working of our Lord Jesus and the Spirit of God within. So Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4 and about verse 18, he says, while we look not at the things that are seen, but at the things which are not seen. Verse 17 says, our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. The things that are seen are passing away, they're temporal. But that which is not seen is eternal. What about the eloquence of the new nature? Just as the greatness of the old nature might be in the wisdom and eloquence of a person, what about the eloquence of the new nature? You see, in the pangs of death, we may only be able to utter Abba Father and then drift off and eventually end up into the very presence of God, where we can sing with the chorus of heaven, the Hallelujah chorus. 1 John says, we doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Beloved, this is a glory that will never pass away. 1 John 2 verse 17 says, he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So when you look at this passage, how can I love one another with a pure heart fervently? We are being exhorted as children of the King because we have been born into the King's family to thus manifest the nature that is truly ours, and it is ours by birth. Beloved, it is absolutely impossible to possess the existence of a new life without the new birth. And it's absolutely impossible to possess the glory of the new birth apart from a new heart. If God hasn't given us a new heart in regenerating grace, that's the result of the new birth. The new birth is manifested in a new heart. And the new heart manifests itself in love of the brethren. That's what John tells us in 1 John. We know that we are passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. See to it, Peter says, that you love one another with a true heart fervently. Therefore, beloved, as we begin a new year, we need to make sure that the new birth is our personal possession. Our Lord said, this is what is a must. Here's a divine imperative. You must be born again. And when we have that new heart, everything else flows from the new heart. And it's reality. This world passes away, and the lust thereof, the desires of it, but he that does the will of God abides forever. May God enable us to lay hold of these truths, to just look at what they're saying. Being born again. Not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. By the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Because all flesh is as grass, and the glory of man is the flower of the field. The grass withereth, and the flower fadeth, or falleth away. But the word of the Lord endures forever, and we're quickened by the word. And this word is the gospel which is preached to us. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you that on this night we can be together and speak of the new birth and rejoice in the new birth. And we thank you, our God, that the new birth has given us a new nature, a new heart, a heart that longs for the things of God. Receive our thanks. Make known thy grace in each of our lives, for the Lord Jesus' sake. Amen.